Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this 19th of April, 2023, 10:33 on the clock. And you have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by our good friend, Jacob Wagner, with the Wood County Health Department. Jacob is the public health strategist over there. Good morning, Jacob.
Morning, James.
How you been?
I've been good. The weather's been good. Took a little turn there.
Yeah, that's been interesting. But it has been nice to have this, looking forward to the temperatures coming up here and everything. And
I like the rain, so I'll take it.
I'm with you. There's something about rain just calming, just something nice about it. We've got some important events to talk about coming up here, Jacob. And they've become events, I don't want to say the community looks forward to, but they note them on their calendar. And I've talked to many listeners that will, like, first up, we're going to talk about the drug take back day. I know people who have a little cardboard box and they just put those, their medications and things in there because they know this day is coming now. I think we've gotten to a point with this day now where a little like Truce to Reuse and some of these other events we have around here that we, I don't want to say look forward to again, but that we plan for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great that people know to expect something in April, expect something in October, a way to dispose of the medications. And even talking to the pharmacies, because we have flyers and little bag stuffer cards, and even the pharmacies, just talking with them for a little bit, just the large quantity of prescriptions that they get. So they're thankful that we have a way to dispose of a mass quantity for them so that they're don't get filled up their containers that they have in the pharmacies.
For those that don't know about the event, let's inform them about it. Let's explain it to them and tell them exactly what this day is all about.
Yeah, so it's Saturday towards the end of the month in October, and in April we do a National Drug Take Back Day where people can bring their prescription medications that are expired or they're not using anymore, and they can dispose of them. And we usually have little handouts and useful resources for you. We've got some cool lock boxes. So it's just a really good way to come and dispose of those medications that maybe you're taking up space or not really going to do any good. Just sitting there and just bring them down. And it also helps the environment, not getting those medications out into the land. And it also prevents those from getting into the wrong hands. So if you had like a controlled medication, a pain script, a ADHD medicine, something that would be a controlled medication, and if that's not being used or expired, just to keep it from getting in the wrong hands, just also bring that and dispose of it. And they accept all medications, pet medications, over-the-counter medications, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, liquids, ointments, patches, vials. The creams and liquids do have to be in the original container, but anything else does not have to be in the original container. So don't worry if you've been piling up in a Ziploc bag. They get that all the time. You can black out your name or peel off the label if you'd like to, just to keep your information discreet so that nobody has to get a hold of that information. They don't accept aerosol cans, illegal drugs, needles and sharps. If you do need a way to dispose of your needles and sharps, we have been trying to increase that. So you can get a hold of me at the health department or just even call the health department. They'll transfer you to me. Trying to increase access to getting rid of needles and sharps so I can point you in the right direction. I know Aspirus does have a needle disposal in their entrance too. So they don't dispose of thermometers. And they don't dispose of personal care products. So don't bring your sunscreen or your skincare products.
Jacob, when it comes to this, like we talked about before, most people understand this event, understand the positives of this event. Are there things that you have found organically in the years doing, because you've been doing this a little while now, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to like seeing the things that you've seen that like, oh, that's been an advantage, or this has really helped. Like for me, one of the things that I've noticed is it feels like this conversation we're having now a little more open. Like it's a more of an accepted conversation to have. People don't shy away from it or give you a funny look. Absolutely. or talk in a hushed voice. It feels like now we're able to talk about drugs, we're able to talk about addiction a little bit more openly, and it doesn't become this thing that can lead to people staying in that world, staying addicted in those things, the shame, the inability to have anybody to talk to, a lot of those factors.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a public health standpoint, it's great for us to reach an audience that may be getting prescription medications or know people with prescription medications to educate on that. We have so many resources. We have deactivation kits where you can dispose of these medications at home. We have lock boxes to keep your medication safe and away from, you know, if you're a grandparent or a parent and you don't want your kids to even accidentally, you know, get their hands on this, we have lock boxes. We have, you know, educational handouts, and we try to promote these in the community, but an event like this is just a great way to say, you know, hey, you know, if you've got these medications, come access these resources. We're able to go out and talk with you and send out flyers and just, yeah, exactly, get the conversation started that, you know, it's not good to dispose of medications, you know, in the trash or down the toilet, and that there is a safe way. And we're trying to really make it so people don't have to go out of their way. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do it at the Walmart in Marshfield, at the Pick and Save in Rapids. We're trying to make locations where you can go just about your day and then just drop off those medications. And we try really hard to promote it, but I think it's great that these actual locations will say, hey, you know, while you're shopping, you know, look, here's a drug disposal, so maybe you can run home quick and grab those and dispose of them. But it's not like an end-all. If you don't have them there, if that day doesn't work for you, there is permanent disposal sites. And those, you can find those throughout the town. So if that's another thing, that if you need to dispose of these later on, you can get a hold of me and I could send you materials on where to dispose them. Or even at the take back events, if you say, hey, I don't have my medications on me, or I know someone that needs to dispose of these, they can't access this today, they'll have handouts there. We have cool refrigerator magnets, you know, with all these locations of where to dispose of these medications. So if they're not being used anymore, most medications, I used to work at a pharmacy, so most medications have about a year shelf life. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that they're not effective. It's just that they're not 100% effective. The active ingredient in them, it just isn't as effective. So if it's something that has expired, you know, and you do need more, I would still dispose of those and contact your doctor.
We have this thing in our society about this don't look down theory. This, if I tell somebody, you know, because we all understand, hey, don't look down. And what do you do? You look down. The idea of if we just don't bring this up, society will just kind of like, it'll just go by and it won't bother anybody.
Exactly.
And I'd like to think by now, most rational people understand that's ridiculous. That doesn't work. We had a wonderful discussion yesterday that's going to be on Director's Cut this Sunday, where we had one of your colleagues from the Wood County Health Department, Dave, on talking about suicide awareness. And talking about having a conversation about suicide, and it felt like a silly question, but I wanted to ask him that very question. Like, there's people that are afraid if I bring up suicide around somebody, is that going to put the thought in their head? And there's no science to that. There's no evidence to that. The chances are bringing something up is not going to make said person do that. Just because we do that with looking down doesn't mean we're going to do that with all these other things. If we don't talk about drugs are not going to go away. They just become worse. That's what we're already dealing with. We're dealing with the aftermath of that. By talking about these things, by sharing this information, bringing the stigma away from it, not only are we hoping to make our community safer, and those things make our environment safer, we could be saving lives. Like, I think about my father, I wonder if he was growing up now, would he have spent the majority of his life addicted, or could he have gotten help? Could he have been in a more welcoming society, in a more open society, been able to get better quicker, faster and everything? Because there's nothing in society that's saying we're doing this to try to, you know, make it easier for addicts to get better or anything like that. Like, it's still, you got to work for this. Like, there's no handout here. But man, the reward is there, and we are there for you and going to help if we can. Having a more open society doesn't hurt anybody. There's no side effect to empathy.
Yep.
It's not as if empathy is going to cause hives. No, empathy is a great thing. Empathy is good. Like, there's nothing negative to that.
And I feel like you just can't ignore it anymore with fentanyl and carfentanyl and just all of these overdoses in our community. I mean, and you just, And I have heard those conversations coming up from places that I wouldn't expect. So I think you're right. I think it's come to that point where we are more open about it. We're having these discussions. And from the health department, it's fantastic to have so many partners and organizations that join us in these efforts. So we are really lucky in that matter.
You mentioned the kinds of meds that aren't able to be disposed. I do remember this question from last year. What about animal medications?
Yep. If you have vet medications, those are completely acceptable.
Okay.
You can bring those. And even, I know we had mentioned like illegal drugs on here too. If you are in possession of that or know somebody that is trying to dispose of that, there is ways to dispose of that. But, you know, you would need to contact the police department to dispose of that. So they say that in a lot of their permanent disposal sites, they'll get illegal drugs. And it's just a different process they have to go through. So they get a lot of sharps and illegal drugs in those permanent disposal sites. There is proper ways to dispose of those where you will not get in any trouble at all. And again, if you want to reach out to me or to the health department, they'll direct you to me, and I can help you through that process.
And we'll get that information out before we let you go today. Let's talk about the locations before we go to our break.
So the locations are the Walmart in Marshfield, and that will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The City Hall in Nakusa, that'll be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The police department in Pittsville from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The fire department in Port Edwards from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The police department in the town of Rome from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the pick and save in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I want to send a big thank you to all of those businesses, supporting this event, hosting these events and everything. I know Pick and Save has done it every year. Just a big shout out to all of them for doing this. I really appreciate that. Do you mind if we go over one more time before break the accepted items, the non-acceptable items? Just get that in people's heads one more time.
So the acceptable items are prescriptions, controlled and non-controlled prescriptions, over-the-counter medications, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, liquids, ointments, patches, pet medications, and vials. And the creams and the liquids do have to be in the original containers, but the rest of those, you can put those in any container that you need to get them there. And they do ask that people do mark out their name or scratch out their name or peel off the label just for privacy of your information. And the unaccepted items are the aerosol cans, the biohazardous materials such as body fluid or blood, household hazardous waste such as paint, pesticides, oil or gas, illegal drugs, needles and sharps, mercury thermometers, and personal care products such as lotion, sunscreen, and shampoo. And I've been told that they will take vapes at these events, but without a battery. So if the battery can be detached, they will take that. But if it's one of those ones where the battery is a part of the vape, they will not take that.
Good to know. I appreciate that, Jacob. Thank you. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We got another big event coming up that we want to talk about with Jacob here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are with Jacob. Jacob Wagner. He is the public health strategist over at the Wood County Health Department. We say a good morning to all of our wonderful friends at the Wood County Health Department. Jacob, make sure you say hi for us over there. Sue and all the gang over there. We love our friends at the health department. I wanted to get into this one with you, the Community Substance Use Engagement Event. It's a long title for a lot of reasons. It's got to be. It's got to be because this is a good event. This is an important event. Let's tell people about this one, Jacob.
Well, there is a community coalition that focuses on youth substance prevention, on reducing adult misuse, and creating and fostering a recovery environment in Wood County. And that community team is the Impact community team. So IMPACT stands for inspiring and mobilizing people to action for community transformation. We don't say that because it's a mouthful, but that's what it means. It's a team of community members, of businesses, organizations coming together to focus on these efforts. And we want the community to show up to these. It's really supposed to be led by the community and backed by all these partners and organizations. And we've got some community members, but we really want to engage the community to come and be a voice in this. to even receive the agendas and the minutes of these meetings. You know, I know people are busy. We meet somewhere between 9 and 5 during the week. So I know not everyone can make it, but to even be a part of this, to get those emails, those agendas and minutes and say, hey, Jacob, this is never going to work, or hey, I've got a great idea, or I like this, how can I help? We need the community to be involved in this, because that's where the real change is going to happen. That's where the real effort is going to come from.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So we're decided to host an event for the community to come and just learn about impact and learn about the efforts of what we're doing. So on Monday, May 1st, we figured Monday was a good day to try to battle sports and all that. So on Monday, May 1st from 5 to 6:30 p.m. in the Mid-State Auditorium here in Wisconsin Rapids, we're going to share about impact. We're going to share about the harm reduction efforts that we have in the community around Narcan and fentanyl test strips. We're going to hear from the LEO program and their work that they're doing with the youth on just educating them on how their brains work and how decision making happens. And we're going to hear from a community member that is in active recovery and just his story about the recovery environment here in Wood County. And we're going to just hear from our youth initiative with the PATCH program, from these teens that are being educated at the health department, and they're educating other teens, and they're speaking and educating providers. And it's just an event to come and learn about what we're doing and be a part of it. And we've got Politos is going to bring a ton of pizzas. Yeah. And we got Starbucks, and Starbucks has been fantastic for us lately. They're going to come and serve drinks and everything they have. We also have a raffle, which I did not put on our flyer, but we have some Starbucks, coffee and mugs, and I believe gift cards. We got a few of those. So we'll have people sign in, and we'll also raffle some of those off. And I'm really excited. This event, we've gotten Hmong and Spanish flyers out, and so we have translators there to help with that too. So really hoping people can come down, learn about the efforts, and then become a part of those efforts.
It's really easy, and I think events like this in the past were very preachy. And one thing that you guys do at the Wood County Health Department I appreciate and respect so much is the open conversation, the organic conversations that you create. You're not barking at people. You're giving information to people. You're giving people opportunity. You're giving people a chance to learn, to grow, those kind of things, and doing that for the community. These events go so much farther because of the way that you host them, the way that you and the team over there do these things. Because we've had events like this since you know I was a kid, you were a kid, all that and everything, but we had to learn how to reach people. We had to learn how to talk to people. I think about this very often. When I was a kid, they had this great program about with McCruff the crime dog and stranger Step danger crime, yeah. And that, you know, and you, telling every little kid to worry about the guy in the trench coat hanging out at night under the spotlight and under the lamplight and everything, and so all of us were worried about that guy. But we didn't worry about the family member that might be hurting our kids or the teacher or whatever, all these other factors that could happen. Yeah. And we just had to learn from that. Like, okay, we've got to get better. We have to teach kids that, hey, to keep an eye, not so much about the person, but about the actions and being more focused on that. So we learned and adjusted. We have to do the same thing with something like this. We tried say no to drugs. That didn't work. It had an opposite effect on things. So now it's more about, we're not telling you what to do, we're telling you the effects of these things. Here is science, here is fact, here is information. Do with it what you will. We hope you do the right things, but here it is, here's the information. And then there's something like this, where it's interesting, but no matter what we're talking about, the younger we can start, the better. And the younger you can inform kids about these things, and I'm not saying 3 years old, obviously, but when they're conscious, when they're able to be making decisions, when you're letting them walk to school on their own, that's a good time to start talking about this stuff. And again, just because it's not as if you bring up drugs to your kid and, oh my God, never heard of drugs before. What's this? I want to dive right into it. No, that's not how this works. They already heard about this stuff, especially in today's day and age. You might as well assume that your children know a little bit about something. Why not give them the actual information instead of them just making assumptions and not having the actual facts?
That's why I'm so happy to end this community engagement event with a community member, one of the Impact team members that is in active recovery, to share his story, because his story is basically, hey, you always say it's not my kids. Well, you know, he's not what you would picture. You know, because of the misconceptions and the stigmas, we always say, oh, well, they don't look or act or they're not in that environment, so this wouldn't happen to my kids or to my family. And then we have a community member to come out that wants to speak and say, I was that kid. I was that person. You know, I would, you know, a picture perfect, you know, upbringing in life. And it just, we never know. I mean, even talking to people in the community, respected people in the community who have family members that, you know, you would never have seen it coming and didn't know how to approach it because, like you said, we kind of ignore it or think that that would never happen to us. And so I agree. And I feel like even in just the 2 years I've been here, I've seen a change in people wanting to come and wanting to be a part of that, too. So,
yeah, I think that for a lot of people, they may have felt one way about this subject. Fentanyl changed that. The opioid epidemic changed that. It brought a different face to the addict, to the drug addicted person. All of a sudden, it wasn't that person disheveled and all those things. It's doctors, it's lawyers, it's teachers, it's any every single field. Everybody has been affected by these two different things. The opioid thing was bad enough. The fentanyl thing is insane. It's just we've had problems with drugs in different epidemics before. We had the crack epidemic in the 80s and things like that. We've never seen anything like this before, where the tiniest of something can cause the worst of effects. So whether you agree with Jacob and I, whether you want to be on the same page as this or not, I believe that if you care about your loved ones, you got to be informed about this subject. You've got to share this information with people. You have to share this information with young people. To not do it is a public disservice to me. You're basically, it's like telling your kids not how to cross the street. That's essentially what you're doing. You're not teaching them to look both ways. You wouldn't do that. No parent would ever do that. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense to let your kid walk into the world not understanding what the word... They shouldn't hear fentanyl for the first time from one of their friends. Yep. They should hear it from somebody like Jacob, somebody like one of these meetings, or a parent, or somebody like that. And giving them facts, giving them information... Not so much opinion. I don't think opinion's going to get you a long way. We all know how kids are. You tell them not to do something, they're going to maybe do it. But you give them facts, you give them information, they are able to make their own decisions. And that's part of what we're supposed to do as adults, is help them learn how to make decisions for themselves.
Yeah, me and my coworker are always discussing this. Is harm reduction and prevention the same thing? And so mentioned about crossing the street and looking both ways. It's about giving our community the best efforts possible to succeed, to have a high quality of life. And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I feel like we've really gotten a lot more involvement. And if you're somebody that has a concern, that has an opinion, if you're not even like these meetings, if you're able to voice that to me, I can share it at these meetings where partners are meeting and trying to make a difference, because we need to hear from the community members. Because a lot of us, we've done the schooling, we've done the research, we've had the conversations, but we need to know from people that are there, that are actually, you know, making a change, that need our support, how we can help.
Every different voice is a different bit of data, and all that data makes making decisions or coming up with projects like this or anything in the future that much more. Okay, well, we know this amount of people need us to do this in the community. I'm reminded of the United Way in some ways. Like Terry has talked to me about this a lot, about, you know, every community is different that the United Way is in. So they do surveys, they look into things, and like, okay, this community needs help with this more than this community does. This is the same type of thing. The more information the health department has, the better they're able to, okay, well, this is an issue in this city, or maybe this isn't as big of an issue, we don't have to put as much emphasis on this. It's all data, and it all helps you guys be able to do the things that you guys are doing there to keep our community as safe as possible.
Exactly.
And healthy as possible.
Exactly.
I wanted to just run down these events one more time with everybody. Jacob, the Drug Take Back Day, when is that coming up?
So that'll be this Saturday, April 22nd. And it'll be at various locations throughout Wood County.
You can give those locations again if you want.
So that'll be at the Walmart in Marshfield from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the City Hall in Nakusa from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Police Department in Pittsville from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Fire Department in Port Edwards from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Police Department in the Town of Rome from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the Pick and Save in Wisconsin Rapids from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And the community substance use of engagement event will be Monday, May 1st from 5 to 6:30 over at the Mid-State Auditorium. Big thank you to our friends over at Mid-State. You can find out more information going to their website, woodcountywi.gov. It's woodcountywi.gov. Jacob, is there a way for them to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can call the health department if you, and they can transfer you any questions to me. But my direct line at the department is 715-421-8907. And then my email is jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov.
Next time we get together, I want to talk a little more about the LEO program. That's a very interesting program. I think that'd be fun. Thanks for the time, Jacob.
Thanks, James.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.